Today on the Cooligans, we talk about Champions League match week 4. Had some wild, wild stuff happen in it. Oh my God, City. What happened to City and Real Madrid?
And we're going to be talking to Kevin O'Toole, the left back for New York City FC. He has a big game coming up against FC Cincinnati. Game 3, single game elimination, a lot on the line. And some other MLS news, because Jim Curtin was sacked and Bruce Arena is the opposite of sacked. He has a job in San Jose. We'll talk all about it today on the Cooligans. All right, so we're here to cheer you up, right?
Yeah.
It's been a rough week on a couple folks.
This is the cold open.
All right, very cold.
Oh, yeah.
Ice cold open. We can't
predict the future, but I know Cooligans will always be here to try to make you laugh and get your mind off everything that's happening in this world.
Exactly.
Sometimes good, mostly the bad
stuff. Mostly bad. It's a bad recap. The news is not lovely. Yeah. But before we get started, I just want to say, obviously, it is difficult, seeing the results of the election and just the state of the world right now, and what we have to look forward to does not look very optimistic or positive. But I just want to reiterate I think on our show, we're obviously two Latinos, children of immigrants, and that obviously informs our perspective on the world quite a bit, and we share that from time to time. This is very much a soccer comedy show, so we try to make you laugh as much as possible, but it would be disingenuous to not say, like, you know, we're feeling some type of way about the election results. And more than anything, it's just like, I think in times like this, at least for us, it's a reminder to continue to have that commitment to the people that support us, support our show, to the people that, whether it's gay, LGBT,
anybody,
marginalized people,
anybody at all.
We're as inclusive as ever.
If you love soccer, then we love you.
Exactly. And we see that all over the world, everywhere that we travel. The soccer community is incredibly loving, inclusive, welcoming to us all
Very
the time.
Welcoming.
And we just try to give that.
Other than that one lady who threw water at us.
That one lady, I mean, it's not going to be everybody. You know what I mean?
She didn't get the memo.
That's kind of the main thing we just wanted to make sure we said, because it is difficult to sort of exist in a world where there is so much kind of hatred being spewed. And we try to be the antithesis of that.
We just want you to have fun.
Exactly.
We hope we're that.
So with that said, welcome to the Cooligans, everybody, here on Yahoo Sports. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Thrilled to be back and powering through per usual. Carter, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm in your guys' boat.
All right, cool. Yeah.
Let's talk soccer.
Yeah.
You're telling two Latinos you're on a boat? Damn, man.
Damn. Okay, Carter hates Cubans. The guy gets married and the real him comes out.
Jesus Christmas.
Wow.
Anyway. So we're here powering through it. Obviously,
we might need to get boats, actually.
Okay. We have an exciting show today, because not only we're going to be talking Champions League and a lot of news in Major League Soccer, but we're also going to be joined by Kevin O'Toole.
Oh my God!
Of New York City FC, the NYCFC left back is going to be joining us to talk about the upcoming match against FC Cincinnati, Game 3 playoffs.
Playoffs.
Talking about just how our coin toss in Game 2 just inspired
the team. We cover
the
important topics.
Exactly, because I've been watching the media coverage of this game. People are not talking about it enough. Shouts to Alexis for talking to Matt Freeze yesterday and pointing it out, because it just seems to, it's a play that doesn't show up on the stat sheet.
You know what? And sometimes it's like, bro, I feel like XG, we're not doing... XCT. You know what I mean?
That's right. Expected coin toss. Right? It's something that is...
You're dropping the ball, Octa.
Yeah, it's so often overlooked. So we talk about that with Kevin O'Toole, all right?
Let me tell you something. It was Kevin Freese's idea. He said, yo, bring up the coin toss. I said, wow, I would have never thought to do that. Well, I would have never thought to give myself flowers.
Well, his name is Matt Freese, not Kevin Freese.
I bet Kevin O'Toole. Sorry, Matt Freese. Yo, no, actually, his manager's his brother, Kevin. Y'all know him like I know him.
You know, but you know, the we don't claim professionalism. No, that's never the thing.
Imagine I got it right. You'd be like, yo, who is that?
Yo, that's an AI Alexis.
Nah. IXS, bro.
So he'll be joining us in a little bit. Let's start with Champions League because there were a lot of wild results. And we have to start with probably one of the craziest results that happened on Tuesday.
So this was the fear, right? Match day 4. We're in the middle, right? It's 8 match days.
Uh-huh.
Match day 4 would be like the we don't need to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You could drop points. You still got 4 more games.
Sure.
And if you guys don't know, so it's 1 through 8 go directly into the quarterfinals, right?
Yeah.
Round of 16. If you finish in 9 through 24, then you go to a knockoff, like a playoff, to get the winner goes into that round of 16, right? If you finish below 24, so 25 through 32,
mm-hmm.
you're out. You're done. You're cooked. You don't even get to go to Europa, okay? So think about it. You're not going to get fully kicked out. If you're in the top 8 and you lose a game and maybe get a draw after that, you're not out. You still got enough points. If to understand, to get into that middle, to that knockout, I'm just suggesting you need 8 points.
Okay.
If you want to get into the, if you want to get into the top 8.
Just stay in the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. That's top 23.
Okay.
If you want to get in the top 8, meaning you skip out that playoff, you have to have 16 points.
Yeah.
So if you're in that top 8, you can still lose a game and be fine. You could draw a game and be fine. So because of match congestion, I think we all kind of assume match day 4 would be the one where you'd see some wild results. And did we get that?
Yes, we did.
Oh boy, did we.
Because Manchester City went to Lisbon to play Sporting Clube Portugal and got shellacked 4-1. I mean,
ever, bro.
We're not used to seeing results like this.
This
ever.
Is like the first time I saw Kimbo Slice get knocked out. Remember
Kimbo that was Slice? That was a wild time because he seemed like Colossus.
This
from
guy
X-Men.
Was beating up fridges in backyards in like Florida. Remember that?
So it just kind of surreal.
What year was that? What reference did I just pull out?
R.I.P. Kimbo Slice.
Did he pass?
He did pass.
I assumed this much, but I didn't know.
I forgot of why.
Carter, can you find out what year Kimbo Slice was?
Kimbo Slice, his popularity? He did like...
Backyard fights.
Backyard fighting and stuff like that.
So I don't have kids, obviously. The first time I heard Backyardigans, I thought it was a different version of backyard fights. Or remember like way back in the day, backyard wrestling was a thing? These people were like falling through plywood.
Yes, yes.
Off like sheds.
Early 2000s. That was a crazy time. That was a big deal, bro.
I missed all of that.
Okay.
But Kimbo Slice. Kimbo Slice went to the UFC. All right, we're not. Is that a Kimbo Slice podcast?
Kimbo Slice.
So the back street, like the illegal street fighting stuff was 2005.
Ooh, that's a good era. That was some wild time.
That was,
right,
you know, you filming fights on a Motorola StarTAC.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like iPhone wasn't even out.
The iPhone was
2 years later, first iPhone drops.
So, okay. So, yeah, Kimbo, RIP Kimbo, everybody. It's hard to make it sad. But,
it's so hard to say goodbye.
But Sporting Lisbon, Ruben Amorim and his team just kind of, what felt like embarrassed Manchester City a little bit. I mean, Man City have lost, 3 games in a row for the first time in a very long time.
This wasn't a loss. This wasn't a defeat. This was a whooping.
This was a little bit of like, hey, like Pep going to like, what are we? What are we? What kind of club are we? Are we going to go down this sort of, down this hill? Are we not going to just going to like have a little bit of pride? You know what I mean?
Can I present you? Conspiracy theory?
I love conspiracy theories.
Okay.
So do Trump voters, but what else?
We don't got to talk about all that.
They're going to love this part.
They might not like this one. This is a different type of conspiracy theory. They're in baseball, right? I remember I was watching something, right? I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's very high in baseball. He's like a very, very high up there. Coached at like with the Yankees for a little bit, but didn't stay there long. But this is how much of a genius this guy is. Pitching coach.
Your friend Don Madden?
No, yeah. I don't know if you guys know my boy. I changed his name up. So I'm talking to Jarek Dieter.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you heard of this guy. So I'm talking to Jaron Dudge. So I'm talking to this guy, and he's explaining to me that there was a moment in a game where he was pitching against one of his pitchers was pitching against someone, and he convinced him to throw a fastball high and tight, knowing that that batter hits high and tight fastballs. Uh-huh. Because he said, you're going to go up against this team in the playoffs. They're the two best teams, and you're going to face them in the playoffs. And if you get down to a game and you get down to a 3-2, he's going to think, oh, he's done this before, and he threw it high and tight. And that's when you hit him with your changeup, because that game means more than this game right now, because it's just an end of regular season game versus a competitor. You're probably going to see a very important playoff match.
Mm.
So you're thinking two steps ahead, chess, not checkers.
Gotcha.
So you threw a game, so they think this is what you do. Moving forward, you hit him with the big one. Knowing that Sporting Club de Portugal or Sporting Club Portugal's manager is Ruben Amorim, who in two matches will then be the Manchester United manager, do you think Pep was giving him the idea and Manchester United fans the idea that, oh, I don't know how to manage against this guy.
Our team is crumbling. We're falling apart. Like,
or look, oh man, your tactics are so genius. You just cut through all of mine.
So playing a little
false hope here.
A little playing possum to get him in during the
took
you know,
a dive.
I'm gonna assume no. Champions League is probably a bigger deal to Man City.
Match week four.
Yes.
What position is Manchester City, and they were what, sixth?
Oh, in the league. Let's see.
I think if you go back one, it'll show it on the right hand side.
Yeah, they are currently. Where are they?
All right, they're in 10th.
10th. Okay.
They have a pretty easy schedule, though.
Yeah. This is, look, in this game, I think the surprise here were just the goals where the players, where Man City defenders looked a little bit lost.
Well, when was the last time you see one pass break two lines on Manchester City? And then for that to happen three other times in
the
game.
I think the player that looked the most out of
place.
I'm
going to let you pronounce his name.
I heard it in the background, but Jamal Simpson Pusey?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Nico said it. I was like, thank you.
And
I think it's Jamai.
Oh, Jamai, yeah, okay. I didn't see. I think I need glasses. I'm getting to the point. Anyway,
I'm over here, Christian.
But he,
that's Carter you're talking to.
There were a couple moments after the goals where I'm assuming he's like a young player. I don't know.
Yeah, he's I think 18.
There were a couple moments.
Well, you're number 66. You ain't been on the senior team for a minute.
There were a couple moments where he was like looking around, and and it seemed like he was the one that was a little bit lost in like what the defensive assignments were and where. When you give up four goals, that is just so unlike Manchester City that it clearly shows like something fundamentally is wrong. Happened in that game that where somebody was like confused and didn't know what to do.
It's like when you see those games where it's like 8-1 and you're like, this wasn't even a real game. This wasn't a real match.
Because
like something happened in this match that they just continued to attack. I mean, obviously it counts, but you're like, this isn't a true depiction of what these two clubs going up against each other are.
The goals that Man City tend to give up that we've seen for the last 4 years are like a long ball where like a Kanji or Ruben Dias just gets sort of beat and like muscled or like a little mistake or something. But the defense,
you don't see Manchester City players chasing a player
exactly
for like 40 yards.
When that was it the third goal, the fourth goal, the one that he broke through three?
That might be both of them actually. Honestly.
Sure. When you see a ball gets through two lines of defense for Manchester City, that's like, all right.
I've never seen that before.
It just doesn't happen.
The last time I saw that was before they got money. You know what I'm talking about? Was broke boys.
Micah Richards was playing on that
team. Bro, facts. Micah Richards has a lot of clips of him chasing players and other kids.
It's been a long time. And so that's what was such a shock. And I think it kind of begs the question of just like what's going on with leadership, with motivation, with just focus. Because
I think this is a red herring, like it's fake. I think this is all fake. This happens
every
year.
But three in a row?
Yeah, this happens every year this time.
Okay.
Manchester City slips up a little bit, gives everyone else a little bit of false hope, gets us the thinking, oh my God, we all have a chance at winning this title. And this is exactly what happens, that once the year turns over, that second half of the season, they just go on these runs that completely demoralize everyone, especially if you're a team that's finished second twice.
That is true. But they, yeah, defensively, this was one of the oddest sort of performances from even the penalty that Matias Nunes gives up. It's like, why are you getting beat like that?
Yeah.
It's like, you're a Man City player. Like, I understand if you get beat, and whatever, somebody's gonna this pace your players, I get it, but him holding the dude's
and
arm
like and twisted around
twisting and just like the relentless, like, no, don't yeah. get don't you're
don't make me
faster,
look bad.
you look worse constantly, yeah. holding and trying to pull on the dude's shirt. So a shocking
that's when you got to do the thing that like South American players do, you know, you get beat, you just pull on your shirt. Ref, he's pulling my shirt as the guy's scoring behind me. No, I should have blown the whistle, bro.
It was a back and forth. You saw. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, surprising result, to say the least. But
I think Manchester United fans were going nuts. By the way, shouts to Flex. We haven't said it, but
oh, that's right.
Sorry, you're going through everything.
Flex,
you're going through,
yeah,
Flex,
yeah, dealing
there.
With some wild racial abuse after a game.
Yeah, or just the callousness of spewing some really terrible racist words.
Terrible. Yeah. I mean, whatever. You know, this is. I hope this doesn't become normalized. That's all.
Well,
that's
what, has it over the last few years? We'll see. But credit to, and I think a couple of Manchester United players reached out and posted some stuff.
I've seen a post from Harry Maguire as well. Yeah, it was nice.
So good. I'm glad that people are jumping to his support. Shouts to him.
Okay. Real Madrid against AC Milan. Another really, really wow result.
Dude, Christian Pulisic
had a great game. I don't think he didn't get an assist. Oh, he got an assist on the
corner.
Yeah. But even in the he had a couple key passes that led to the second goal.
He absolutely balled out there.
Yeah.
But all of Milan did. And we talked about this on Morning Footy, but like Paulo Fonseca, they're not having a great season. Is he on the hot seat? He's on the hot seat. You know what? When he gets to the Derby della Madonnina, you know, Inter versus Milan, what will happen? They beat Inter Milan, one of the best teams in Serie A, one of the best teams in Europe. They beat them. You're like, all right. Well, that's not going to save you, though, because
I don't know.
You know what? You also got Champions League, and now you're going to the Bernabeu.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the Bernabeu, and you better, it's Real Madrid. You better at least lose with dignity. And they go in there, and they absolutely slap them down 3-1.
Yeah, it was a confident win. And they had a decent amount of possession. You know,
this is a bigger result than Sporting Club versus Manchester City.
I agree. And it's you can ask the sort of same questions about Real Madrid because they get slapped in the Clásico,
yeah,
and then they have this result.
They should have went to the Ballon d'Or ceremony and skipped that on this game. I mean, that would have been
a better at least use of your time.
Oh my God.
No, but this was a game where sort of the same questions of this team. I mean, you know, Mbappe. Seemingly,
I think it's more a chemistry issue here than it is at Manchester City. Manchester City, I mean, even if you're right, it's more of like a doldrum attitude. Mm-hmm. This is an issue with chemistry. Mbappe as a 9, and shouts to Thierry Henry, who did an incredible job breaking this down. You see Jude Bellingham realizing, oh, no one's trying to break up that back line. No one's trying to get someone to create space. So I'll make that run. But if you're playing as the 10, you can't make the run past the 9 and then come back and play 10.
Yeah.
You have to stay in your position. You should be hoping the 9 is making that run. And Mbappe just isn't making those runs. He isn't doing the work a 9 should. So the question becomes, but I don't know if this happens to you. Like when I hear Charlie or Henri, I'm like, oh, because in my head, I'm like, well, you're Mbappe. You wouldn't be doing something that, you know, you weren't told not to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to listen to Ancelotti. I'd listen to Ancelotti. Mm-hmm. So he must say, in my head, I'm thinking he must be telling, you know, Jude Bellingham to make those runs. And when Henri's saying, no, he's looking over and realizing Mbappe's not doing it, so I got to do it. I'm like, well, that's wild disrespectful. Why would you not make these runs?
Sure. Disrespectful of Mbappe.
Of Mbappe.
Yeah,
or just maybe he doesn't understand how to play the 9 at that level of what's needed.
I agree.
And this clearly isn't how he's comfortable. So should you keep it that way, knowing Vinicius Junior, the 1A to Rodri in the Ballon d'Or.
It's because Bellingham, for the most part, he has a much more free playing role. And he's sort of allowed to make those runs. And, right. And that's
but his thing is supposed to be late run into the box.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not first guy to break the back line.
Which is maybe there's some miscommunication with him right. and Mbappe. But the fact that the team goes from winning Champions League last year, and it did feel like, you bring in Mbappe and now they're just kind of adding another ridiculous infinity stone to this team. And it's
one too many?
I don't even know if it's one too many. It is just obvious Mbappe probably is not right for that position. He wants to be where Vinicius is playing, but Vinicius is the better winger. That's it. I think it's difficult for him to adjust. When you think about Karim Benzema, just had a comment about him. I don't have it in front of me, but basically saying like Mbappe's not a nine and he doesn't fulfill that role. He's a fast pace. If he was in the role that Vinicius is in now, I think he would be thriving. I think he would do.
Of course he would. The great problem is the guy that he waited 2 years to replace became arguably the best player in the world, if not one of the best players in the world. So now what do you do? And the question becomes, they posted a clip of us talking about this and the comments have been going absolutely insane, but in a way that I didn't expect. I said, if you're, Florentino Perez and you have to get rid of one of these players come this summer, that player is going to be Vinny.
Yeah.
You can't miss out on the Mbappe marketing opportunity that comes with having Mbappe. And I know Vinny is a big marketing piece now as well, but especially playing for France, who's seemingly always going to be in contention for World Cups and Euros, you cannot get rid of this player who just got there on a free. And I know you're paying him a ton of money. So if this summer you have to get rid of one of these players, and it's seeming, I think if I'm not mistaken, Vinny is in contract negotiations.
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that. I'd have to look that up. But if you're going to get rid of one of them, it's probably going to be Vinny, which, feels like you're not really losing out much because you have Mbappe to replace him. You're going to have to go and get a striker. But think about how insane that is. What I saw from a lot of Real Madrid fans is we want Vinny, not Mbappe. And I get it. He won you Champions League.
I can see
his contract is until 2027 right now.
Okay.
2027. So, yeah. But there was talk of him saying, like, I don't want to renegotiate my contract right now. I want to wait.
Okay. I don't know. But I pulled up the comments from Karim Benzema, and he says, quote, Carlos not going to move Vinicius because he is the best in the world right now in this position. Mbappe has to get into his head that he should be a nine and forget about the left, which is a big ask because it's you think of, Mbappe is not the same type of player as Karim Benzema. Karim Benzema's not necessarily
a pure nine.
Pure nine. I mean, obviously, he's not running past people. He is controlling the ball back to goal.
Speed wasn't his game.
Speed was not his game. And going 1v1 against it is clinical finishing in tight spots.
Incisive. Knows what move to make where. Knows how to get the ball. Knows how to put himself in a position.
Wrapping around his hand, bro. Right. Mbappe needs to get that arm wrap quickly.
Directing Instagram movies. You feel me?
That's right.
Vertical movies.
Okay. My man was, one of the first. To make basically.
He set the bar so high. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do it at his level.
Feature. What's that?
Besides us with the championship.
Feature film. But we're concerned about Real Madrid. But I do want to just give flowers to AC Milan and Reinders. What's his first name? Tijani.
Yeah, I had no idea that was his first name.
Yeah, he is. I believe he's Dutch.
He is incredible.
He is kind of starting to become one of my other favorite midfielders to watch in Europe.
You see him ball and you're like, oh, he won't be wearing an AC Milan shirt for long. Because you're going to get a lot of money for this guy.
It's a little bit of that. Because he is, I enjoy watching Martin Odegaard, Reinders has this something to his game that's really, really fun and exciting. And he scored a goal in this game.
Dude, Yunus Musa and Christian Pulisic started in a 3-1 win against Real Madrid.
Tremendous.
Santiago Bernabeu.
Yeah, yeah. But then we're going to struggle against Honduras.
Yeah.
Damn. You know, that's just the nature of the
game,
bro.
Way to deflate it, dude.
CONCACAF is crazy, bro.
CONCACAF is pretty wild.
A couple other results just to get through. That
Inter beats Arsenal on, yes, it's a penalty, but come on, man.
Yeah, it's a penalty, but...
Mikel Merino had no idea that ball was there.
Yeah, it's just an annoying result, even as a neutral.
And, dude, Premier League fans are going to be all in our mentions. It's not a penalty. They interpret it differently in Europe than they do in England.
That's okay, it. Sure.
The idea of the intent is not there. If it hits your hand, that's it.
I think they're a little bit kinder about it more lenient.
I think when they take into consideration your intent. Did you purposely put your hand up to block?
Yeah,
it?
I mean, look, his hand is up, but I think they're a little bit more lenient. Let's say if it hit Marino's leg and then his own arm, then they would be like, okay, he's tried to clear it and his hand was...
But it's going towards goal off the other player.
It was a shot. It was a shot, yeah. And your hand is in the way, and I get it.
What are you going to do?
It's not a yellow,
yeah.
But it is a...
Maybe Arsenal could be a little bit more creative in the midfield. I don't know, maybe at the top of the box in those half spaces where Odegaard normally roams.
They didn't have anything. It was nice to see Odegaard back, though.
Yeah, it was nice to see that. Declan Rice, apparently, his foot's so swollen he can't get a boot on.
Wow. What, like foot or ankle? What happened to him?
I'm assuming it was ankle.
Okay. Damn, bro. Can't get a boot on. You can't wear your Tims out.
Damn, like, sorry. He needs to put the Tims on out. There's only one big enough. Like early Fat Joe days.
Liverpool beats Bayer Leverkusen.
No, beats the brakes off of Bayer Leverkusen.
But all the goals came in the second half, which is surprising.
Well, that's when, Arne Slot likes to make adjustments at the half.
Mm.
That first half was boring. That could have been an email. That first half did not need to happen, bro. We could have been like, yo, let's just walk in the second half.
Hat trick for Luis Diaz.
Yeah, Lucho's first hat trick in his career.
Yeah, I mean, the last goal, you saw it? The no look into the net. I'm like, all right, bro.
He got sauce.
You're having a good time out there. And then Celtic defeats RB Leipzig. The shocking thing here is Leipzig has not won a game.
They're in 24th or 25th place.
Which is already like, bro, you're a Champions League, remember when you were competing?
Remember when everyone said you were title contenders in Bundesliga?
Kind of crazy.
What happened? It's just all the French teams, bro.
Yeah.
Look at the standings in Champions League.
Mm.
Bro, it's who's in first? Liverpool, then Sporting Club. Look right there on the right.
Yeah.
Monaco, Brest are all up there. Look at you.
Brest on top. You
damn,
know how it is.
Let's go. Okay. You know what? If you haven't, you got to see them. You got to see them. They're exciting.
We'll take a quick look at the table before we bring on Kevin O'Toole. But yeah, this is a look. I think Sporting Lisbon being there in second is.
Could you imagine how much you would stop me if I told you I'm putting $100 down that Sporting Lisbon is going to be in second place by the end of match week four?
Aston Villa lose their game. Who they play?
Club Bruges.
In a humiliating way in the error, Emi Martinez passes it outside of the 6-yard box to Tyrone Mings, and Mings for some reason picks the ball up.
Yeah, and resets it
and passes it back to.
And Emi Martinez realized he made a mistake, but tried to play it off for him. He was like, What are you talking about?
He was like, whistle.
This is illegal now. Picking up a ball.
And I watched it back like four times. I'm like, there must be a moment somewhere where there was some confusion. Or whatever, ref is the ball's in play.
There's a player running at him. There's a player in. There's another player
club inside Bruges, the box.
Yeah,
and Mings for some reason picks up the ball.
Arsenal did that last year, but no one was in the box against Bayern. Remember that?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So this one felt a little. And I saw Christina Uncle talking about this on Golasso show, and she essentially said like the one against Arsenal made sense for it to not be a penalty
because they weren't like under attack
exactly
at the moment.
But this one was just so deliberate and just a loss of concentration. I can't even really make sense of it.
I don't think it was deliberate. I honestly don't think he knew.
No, I don't think he knew. It's just
the circumstances mean that's it. It's a penalty.
Yeah, and then they end up losing the game 1-0. So kind of wild.
The first goal they've given up in Europe.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
And
also, that was Club Bruges' first win against English competition in 14 matches.
Good for them.
Congrats, Club Bruges.
So I know the Villa fans are...
We got to go to a Club Bruges game, bro.
It's also, you know, Nico on Glasgow, he always pronounces it correctly. And I'm like, I'm starting to get self-conscious because... The movie In Bruges is one of my favorite.
It wouldn't have been as good if it was in Bruja.
In Bruja. Is like, okay.
Is that where the term for witch came from in Spanish? Bruja?
Possible.
Damn. In Bruja is a very different film.
All right, let's move on and let's get to our interview with Kevin O'Toole. We're all excited about the MLS Game 3 playoff match between New York City FC and FC Cincinnati happening at TQL this Saturday.
Come on, let's talk to Kevin O'Toole.
Let's talk to Kevin O'Toole about it. So here we go. Here's our conversation with Kevin O'Toole right after this break.
I mean, when we say amazing guests, this is what we're talking about.
Okay. And also, I'm very timely. You know, I'm very, you know, there's a big game coming up.
It's almost as if we planned, which we never do.
Which it shows a lot of growth on our part.
Good job. Good job, buddy.
But we are joined by the left back of New York City FC. Right. Obviously, you know, we were at the game against the game two against FC Cincinnati.
We're co-workers, right? Because we're part of the win.
We all make contributions on the field to help the team win.
I was like, to the showers, boys. Like, no, the game's about to start. I'm like, oh, I did what I came here to do.
No, but I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by Kevin O'Toole of New York City FC. Kevin, what's up, brother?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
This is exciting. I mean, obviously, a big game coming up, an elimination game, game three against FC Cincinnati. You just got done with training. How's the team spirit out there? All right, how we feeling? Because I'm excited. I'm nervous, just as a fan. But how are you doing?
Yeah, everyone's really excited here too. I think it's been a good week of training. It's obviously an opponent now that we've played five times this season. So I think, you know, all the cards are on the table and both teams know what each other are about. So it's just one more to get a home game against our rival. So that's the aim here.
I'm going to ask, because this is like a weird setup with a three-game series, right? You're essentially walking into a single-game elimination, right? Because it's not aggregate. The previous matches don't matter. It got you to the game three. But you guys have played each other four or five times in the last month. At this point, is there anything you can learn from tape? Is there anything, like, how does it feel walking into knowing you're about to do a single-game elimination against an opponent that you know very well and knows you very well?
Yeah, it's definitely a different test. You know, we try to make minor tweaks to our system and ways that we think we can exploit them just based on the first two games. But in all honesty, a lot has been revealed over the course of the season in the way that they play and the way that we play. So it's really just going to come down to the fight, I think, in this last game, as most playoff games and you know, game or series deciding games do. So I think that's the main focus, is to win the fight.
I really appreciated New York City FC's tweak of having us do the coin toss for game two, to really mix things up and give FC Cincinnati a different look. You know what I mean? I think that might have startled them a little bit.
Using your brain.
Sorry, I lost you guys for the beginning of that part. Could you repeat?
Oh, good. I said that I appreciated New York City FC's tweak in having us do the coin toss for game two. I think it really mixed things up and gave FC Cincinnati something different to work with.
Yeah, I don't think they were expecting you guys out there. So I think that's them. And we might need you in Cincinnati as well.
Okay. Right, we're willing to fly out.
We're available.
We'll be flown out.
You know, flew out. Just on the team plane. Yeah. Happy to do that.
You know, I'm like, there's not enough shrimp on this plane. That's my main complaint. But hold on. But I don't know if you noticed. I don't know. Maybe they showed this during game tape or whatnot. Maybe Coach Cushing went over this. But when we did the coin flip, I told Lucho, hey, take it easy out there. And then he did. I think I got in his head, bro.
We locked him down before the whistle was even blown. We had him shut down.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I think the guys, Justin, Tiago, James, the guys in the midfield, did a tremendous job with him. And, you know, we'll have to have a similar performance in game three to make sure we stop their main threat.
Yeah, I mean, he's so good.
I don't want to create any bulletin board material, but the fact that there's like three games, what is the incremental growth of just like the trash talk? And the fact that you know, normally in the season, you play one game and you may see them in a month or two or something like that. But when it's like back to back and now you know there's a third one, is there a like, hey, you remember what you said to me game one? Mm. I'm getting you back. Is there any of that at all?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of it. There's just kind of growing resentment between the teams after you see them so many times. So that's kind of just normal. And, you know, there was the incident at the end of the game one with Tavon getting sent off and then us kind of getting a bit of revenge in game two. So both teams have a lot to fight for, whether it's, you know, the trash talk on the field, or, you know, just the prize, which is moving on to round two.
Yeah. In fact, you mentioned how good the midfield was, especially in containing or trying their hardest to contain Lucho Acosta. Another addition to the midfield. We weren't the only addition in game two. Maxi Morales is watching him play. I'm like, it's a shame that I only get to see him once a week. You get to see this guy in training all the time. How much of a difference does it really add having this magician on the pitch with you?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable what he's still able to do at his age, and especially off the back of an ACL injury. I think that he's come in and still continue to kind of settle the team when it needs settling and kind of control the tempo and make the killer pass is really incredible. And I think it's just a testament to his professionalism that, you know, he's out there training every day and, you know, competing in training and motivating the guys around him. It just shows his will to win and just how great of a professional he is.
Yeah. I got to work with Maxi at a Q&A event for the team. And it is one of those things there. He is a, not only like a clearly a, like a great leader, but just a comforting presence as well. There's something incredibly like gigantic about his personality in this tiny frame that he is walking around in. So I definitely see it as well. The other thing I want to ask about, you scoring your first goal for the club
against Toronto,
and it is one of the one of my favorite goals of the season, not only for the goal but the pass from Julian Fernandez was unbelievable. It's one of those he's done it a couple times. He has a lethal left foot. When I saw the pass and the goal is incredibly beautiful because of the outside of the boot pass, but I watch it and I'm like, Julian, just use your right foot right there. What are you doing? I mean, it's much more beautiful.
Why are you making it much harder?
Why are you making it so much more? Yeah, all right, but it looks remarkable. But getting on the end of that and getting that goal, what did it mean for you?
Yeah, I mean, going back to the pass, I think it looks more difficult because he's using the outside of his left foot, but I think that's honestly just the easier pass for him because he's so comfortable doing it and he's trained it and done it over and over again. So yeah, that pass was insane. And, you know, watching back the goal and seeing that pass is just kind of incredible that he's able to put it in that spot. But yeah, that was a really cool moment. And I think I'm overdue for another one. So hopefully it comes. Yeah,
What a good time to do it in this match against Cincinnati. I got to ask you, you're born and raised in Montclair, New Jersey. I'm from the other side of Branchburg Park. I'm from North Newark. So I'm right there. In fact, I had family in Montclair. There's a great fish fry spot on that main ave right past the Lackawanna station. But how come you talk like that and I talk like this?
You went to Princeton, bro.
Did Princeton get that out of you? How is it that you sound like that and I sound like this when we grew up a 5-minute drive from each other?
I guess I didn't take the train to your hood enough, I guess.
Hilarious. Yeah, dude.
Any of cars went missing in your neighborhood, they were in my neighborhood, you know. That's where they ended up.
Okay. I love that you always have that bond, that connection between those two towns.
Man, who knew a park would separate and make me such a mush mouth and make you
I love it because, you know, as comics and who we've interviewed lots of athletes and lots of MLS players and players in a bunch of different leagues, but there's something uniquely American of like we have a couple Ivy League footballers in the league, and it's just
there's two on this team. In fact, Matt Freese went to Harvard. You went to Princeton. Wait, who's smarter?
Hold on, but there's also Andres Jason who went to Yale, if I'm not mistaken, right?
But
He moved on. But I'm just saying there's a history of
who's
this.
The smartest player on the team. You or Matt Freese?
I don't even know if it's one of us. I think when Andres was here, he's definitely a big brain. Matt and I actually carpool together, so we have a lot of these types of conversations. Sure. But I don't know. It might fall outside of the two of us. We've got some smart guys on the team.
Could you imagine the difference between the conversations Matt Freese and Kevin Alto are having versus the ones we're having when we are carpooling together?
A little bit different. I mean, I just went to a CUNY school. I don't know if it's as impressive. But what I do like about it is that, you know, we've spoken to Andres. We've spoken to Matt was just on Morning Footy yesterday. What do you think? The not even just the college players in the U.S., but the Ivy League, what is it that they offer maybe to teams that looks a little bit different than what other players from other backgrounds or other educations and stuff like that? Because we don't see too many, and usually you would think that the Ivy League players probably have to prove themselves a little bit more just to even get a spot on the roster.
Yeah, I think it's like you said, I think it sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but I think like the mentality of a lot of Ivy League guys is very blue collar and like work ethic and, kind of grind to earn your spot. I think that's kind of the nature on campus at a lot of these schools. It can be kind of cutthroat in terms of, trying to get the better grade and competing with your classmates. And I think it's kind of the same on the field. Everyone's kind of trying to excel in everything they do, and it requires a lot of work. And I think maybe that's why some of the Ivy League guys are able to transfer into the league, is because it's just kind of like a relentless work ethic that a lot of people have come from those programs. And that can really set you apart if you're, you know, trying to make a roster coming from the draft.
I love that because it kind of implies like, you know, you would.
It shows the other side of it.
You would slide tackle somebody in physics class. You know right. what I mean? Like there's just a cutthroat. Like you right. ain't getting a better grade than me.
You think you're magna cum laude? Watch what I can do. Like, you know, I thought my theory was that they're the only ones that could understand the roster rules.
Oh, the F.
So you get a couple Ivy League guys in here.
Yeah, you're
like, yo, where are we on the TAM right now, dog?
The future,
I need you.
The future GMs of the league.
Pick up a TI-86, Kevin. Help me figure this out, bro.
I love it, man. Kevin, obviously, Saturday, a big game to look forward to. And we teased it a little bit. It is the, you know, I guess, is it on your mind at all or on the players' minds that if we win this game, we are hosting a Derby playoff match? Like how you know, it feels, as a fan, I'm like, it's difficult for me to not get ahead of myself and just think about getting this one game. But it is in the air of like what even the next prize could be. It could be just another huge game to set us, make a mark on this city as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think I'd be lying if I didn't say it was extra motivation. I think it is for a lot of the guys, and that's, you know, really driving us in training this week. And it's just serving as a great piece of motivation to kind of light the fire even more for this game Saturday. Obviously, you can never have too much motivation in a playoff game. And I think having the culmination of a game 3 win be a Hudson River Derby at home would be incredible. So yeah, I think that's kind of lighting everyone's fire right now.
Awesome. I know you're busy, right? It's your playoffs and you're probably training and working hard. But we have one very important question. Is it Taylor Ham or is it pork roll?
For me, it's Taylor Ham.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. The interview can continue.
All right. We solved the real issues here.
It's
in North Jersey. That's a North Jersey versus South Jersey thing.
Yeah. Facts.
It is.
I just like to make sure we up the rankings for Taylor Ham, because we get a lot of Philly and South Jersey people on the show.
Yeah.
That say the other phrase, and I'm not a fan.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a litmus test.
Yeah.
For all, mm-hmm. you know, and Jersey has a large representation in American soccer. I don't know why. You know, it's hard to make sort of sense of it if you're not fully aware of the history. But like,
you start Googling some people, you're like, are they all from every third person in American soccer history is from Jersey?
What was your kind of soccer upbringing? Just like real quick, just so I want to get a little bit of background, but your youth soccer days in Jersey that led to getting a professional contract and stuff like that. So what were those kind of days like?
Yeah, so even honestly going before just playing for trying to travel teams in New Jersey, I was living in Poland for 2 years when I was younger with my family. My dad relocated us for his job. And so I went to an American school outside of Warsaw, and I played for a local team called FC Inter. And that was kind of like first real travel team, yeah, if you will. I was in first grade and second grade. And so I kind of got like a bit of a European introduction to soccer and kind of came up in a system over there for a couple of years. And then I returned to the US in New Jersey in Montclair and played for Montclair United, which transitioned to SDFC, which is kind of a local New Jersey club. And then from there, when I was a sophomore, or I guess entering my sophomore year of high school, I joined Red Bull Academy and played with them through I guess college, and then would return over the summers to play for their PDL team before getting drafted to New York City.
Yeah,
very cool.
Dude, I just love the idea.
Hudson River Derby's in your blood.
I just love this New Jersey Irish kid in Poland, yeah, just adapting, just learning everything he can. Ian Pierogi's back at home.
Well, so do you have a European passport?
I'm working on it. I'm working on getting my Irish citizenship right now.
Okay, because I was going to say, if the Irish national team calls, what are you thinking, bro?
Yeah, it'd be an honor. I would love to.
Dude, we're huge fans of Ireland. We've been there a bunch of times. We've done stand-up there.
Great jam.
Alexis has a jam guy.
It's a jam lady over by the Cliffs of Moher. She's about 30 minutes outside the Cliffs, maybe 20 minutes outside the Cliffs of Moher. Buddy, there's nothing like it. I've given it to like Michelin star chefs and their eyes light up.
Dude,
it's real stuff.
He doesn't stop talking about this jam.
I've flown to Ireland just to get the jam. And that's before I had the money to do that.
So if you need jam, this is your guy. He got all the plugs for jam. I know that was a big thing missing in your life, I imagine.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin,
there's a void of jam right now.
Yeah, I know you've got until after the playoffs, after MLS Cup. Win MLS Cup, I'll buy you the jam.
There it is. It's a promise. Kevin O'Toole, thank you so much for joining us, man. Again, best of luck on Saturday. We're obviously rooting for you guys. And again, nothing makes us happier than obviously seeing, especially the young guys, you know, Tavon Gray getting his goal, Ilinich scoring the other day. The fullbacks, give it up for the fullbacks contributing on the score sheet. You love to see it. But this team is looking strong right now in the playoffs. So I'm wishing you guys the best on Saturday against MC Cincinnati.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. It was a lot of fun being here. So let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, anytime. You're welcome back anytime.
Got to come in studio next.
Yeah, you're welcome. We're in the city. Come through anytime, man.
Sure. You know what? We'll do it at the family's house in Montclair. How about that? Fine, Kevin. We'll do it at the O'Toole's.
If you insist.
Jeez, you're twisting an arm here.
We're all Thanksgiving. And some jam.
Oh, you think I won't? I'm going to be very close.
Okay. You know what you should do? Do one do half and half.
Kevin comes to my house.
Kevin goes to Newark for Thanksgiving.
And then I go
in the evening. You go to Montclair. That is a great compromise. We just got to see the
footage alone is worth it.
The camera crew is going to be there. Kevin O'Toole, thank you so much, brother. Cheers.
Awesome. Take care, guys. See you.
Cheers.
What a gem that Kevin O'Toole was, huh?
What a great kid.
Oh,
man. All right. Hopefully, you know.
I'm going to start talking like him, bro.
I love these. There's just so many things come out of New Jersey, you know? Yeah. Kevin O'Toole, Alexis Guerrero.
It's funny the range that such a state has.
Large swaths of different, you know.
It's a cornucopia, really, when you think about it. I'm already using big words.
Okay.
Dude, I should have gone to Princeton,
give
bro.
Give me an Ivy League
Remember
degree.
That dude who was like, yo, I almost went to college. They offered me $15 million. You ever see that kid? That
no.
Clip? Some rapper was like, yeah, I almost went to college, but I turned down the scholarship because I want to do this music thing. It's like, oh, scholarship? He's like, yeah, like 10, 15 million. And they're like, why? He goes, yeah, but I would have had to go to school for the decade. And the guy was like, oh, clearly this guy's lying.
Yeah.
I got to show you this clip. It's great.
It's fascinating. Anyway.
It's the best.
So shout out to Kevin O'Toole. Let's wrap up the show with some MLS news.
Should we start with the shocking news?
Very shocking.
Ridiculous.
It's just kind of crazy. But Jim Curtin has been let go as head coach of the Philadelphia Union. What? I mean, I understand this year.
He signed Curtin to a multi-year extension through 2026 just last year.
They have mentioned, like, shout out to Pablo Maurer and Felipe Cárdenas.
You think he had enough and he was just like, yo, when am I going to get some money, bro?
So they broke the news at The Athletic. But this is something, look. Everybody, I mean, we can go through even the comments. Everybody basically saying like the union have a lot of issues, but nobody really thought Jim Curtin was the problem.
No, not at all.
With the club, he's been.
Think about how much he's done with so little.
Sure. And then when they finally did start spending some money, the union owner Jay Sugarman and bringing in decent players, it's never really been the big name that may sell a whole bunch of tickets. The Philadelphia Union never really, they tried that approach here and there, and it never really worked out too well. But as soon as the team focused on their academy, bringing up younger players, moving players on, so obviously players like Brandon Arrington, Paxton Arrington, Kevin Sullivan, who's going to be going to Man City. There's so many examples. They've
been really good at developing talent.
The business at the Philadelphia Union has been great, but that has also been clouded with terrible losses in finals, whether it's losing three U.S. Open Cup finals, losing in the MLS Cup finals in dramatic fashion to LAFC. It's always just been just not enough to get over the finish line so that he can put that feather in his cap and just saying like, hey, yes, yeah, we've had a difficult season here and there, but I won an MLS Cup for this club. And
yeah, but at the same time, I don't think he's going to have to search too far for
not at all. Jim Curtin, who has been, he's a fan of the show, mm-hmm. a friend of the show. We're obviously
Patreon member.
He's been a genuine supporter of us and I would also say a friend to us as well.
Yeah, very much so.
Really, really good guy. And so it sucks to see, and I know that this is disappointing for him, for his family, because I know how much he really loved
being the Philadelphia coach area.
Yes, without a doubt. And this is a good coach that is just in a position where, like, hey, they kind of want to go in a different direction to try to get this team over the line. And
I would have hoped that he did win an MLS Cup trophy, something to give him maybe a better chance at an opportunity in Europe, even at a lower level. Something
you got a supporter shield,
championship level or something. Yeah. You got a supporter shield, sure. But I would hope that, but I don't think this guy's going to be. I mean, did Austin hire a coach yet?
They did. Yeah. Nico Estevez.
Nico Estevez. That's right. That's right. We interviewed him.
I saw Tom Berger talk about this. I think he did not interview because he was obviously still the coach for the union, but he did not interview for the Atlanta United job, which is vacant. I mean, the interim manager, Rob Valentino, is still there, obviously, but this feels like hey, this might be the move. And this might be if this kind of coach is available.
Could be a win-win.
Yeah.
Part of me wishes that maybe Atlanta would continue to go that South American route that provided so much success in 2018. Sure. But if you're going to do, I mean, who cares?
With the money. Imagine
Garth Lagerwey.
Curtin with Arthur Blank's money.
Dude. Garth Lagerwey is the GM there, right?
Yes.
Dude, he knows how to pick teams.
Sure, yeah.
This feels like a Garth Lagerwey hire.
So, look, I'm sad for him because I know this isn't probably what he wanted, but like you said, he's going to get a job immediately. Mm-hmm. There's no way. He is struggling looking for work for too long. But with that, yeah, pouring out for the homie, Jim Curtin.
We got your back, dude. Little America.
Wishing him the best. Next up, Bruce Arena. Bruce Arena has a job.
He's back.
He's back, baby.
He's in San Jose.
He's going to be the coach of the San Jose Earthquakes. Speaking of having no money, this is a...
They had to promise this guy. He's not just the head coach, but also the sporting director. So essentially the manager.
Yeah.
You would assume... Oh, look at that. Sporting director and manager.
He's going to have a lot of oversight and can possibly reshape this club that has been really, really bad the last few years.
They've also just been listless. They've been lacking in trying to bring in options that would make them better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the big thing. They're more like, money ball. They want to go out and get value. players that no one else knows has value, you know, high XG, things like that.
Do they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, you didn't know that?
No, I did not. I mean, I don't see it on the field.
It ain't working, but that's their whole thing. And I don't think Bruce Arena knows what XG is. I think he's very much like, get me the players I want.
Okay, yeah.
Right, especially if you're a sporting director, give me, open up the purse, give me the money.
And who's the, because we have our resident San Jose Earthquakes fan.
I always forget
Producer
that.
Carter. Who is the, we talked about this before, who's the owner? The Oakland A's owner.
Yeah, John Fisher.
John Fisher. Speaking of spending is no money, I mean, this is going to be quite the test for Bruce Arena.
Scale of 1 to 10, Carter. How's this higher?
My mind is telling me if Matias
Almeida... but my body, my body is telling me.
Do we have to tell, what's your body telling you?
My mind's telling me if Matias Almeida couldn't make it work, Bruce Arena's not going to be able to make it work.
Yeah.
But my heart is, it's the Steve Carell meme. Like, there's no doubt about it. I'm ready to get hurt again. Like, my heart is like, yes, this is going to work out somehow. Yeah. I don't know.
If you guys don't know, Carter is a San Jose Earthquakes Tottenham Hotspur fan.
What a combo.
Brutal. Jets? I'm suing Jets.
He's a
Washington Senators fan. Is that the Washington Generals? Who's the team that plays the Harlem Globetrotters?
Yeah, the Generals.
Yeah, the Generals.
The Senators are the hockey team.
The hockey team.
Which are good. Shout out to Alexander Ovechkin. Yeah. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of work to sort of make any sense of this. But it's one of the things like you can't go wrong.
You mean you can't do worse.
You can't do worse.
Yeah, because it can't go wrong.
It can't be any worse. I mean, I think the one thing that is still a little weird is that we don't exactly know why Bruce Arena was let go from the Revolution. And that weirdness around it
there was a little tidbit that was dropped in the Tom Bogert interview we had on Morning Footy where he said he assured them that it was just jokes during a meeting.
Mm.
So I guess we get a little bit more of a window into what happened, but nothing's ever been really confirmed.
Gotcha. He read off a Tony Hinchcliffe joke.
Oh, boy.
Like, hey, buddy, that's
a... He's like, you ever hear about the it's a bar and these guys walk in. One is A and they're like, all right, Bruce.
Bruce, we don't do those anymore.
No. We stopped them for a reason.
So that was my only thing. But obviously, wish them the best. Cause I know we have a couple of Earthquakes fans that listen to the show, and yeah, it's not hasn't been
it's
great.
80% of the Earthquakes fan base.
Last thing,
Houston Dynamo saying no
to Hector
Hachtua himself.
Hector Herrera, my man,
Ache,
was just spitting on, glazing on it.
Damn,
you can't do that.
He was just priming the pump, yeah.
But his contract is not picked up. His option is not picked up, and he's
34
done.
Years old, oft injured, made the team better for sure.
Yeah, he brought a certain level of confidence to that midfield. And Houston, they win the U.S. Open Cup, and they're clearly. Was a positive brought to the team, but I think the injuries and his age, and then also there's a little bit of like I think they brought him into like you're the Mexican guy is gonna sell a whole bunch of tickets,
yeah,
and that wasn't always the case. There were a couple Dynamo have for the last couple of years been very difficult to fill that stadium, but there are a couple moments with the new ownership group and James Harden being involved, there was a little bit kind of excitement and some of the games were a little bit more well attended, but I think Ache they brought him in to really like sell those tickets and it obviously also improve the team. But I don't think it was enough. So I wonder what direction they're going forward. But because I think they're in a strong spot, and Ben Olsen did a really good thing and turned around this team.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So I think they have a lot to look forward to. I wonder who they bring in next. All right, let's wrap up here, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate it. Shout out again to New York City FC and Kevin O'Toole for joining us on the show. And everybody, just like that's it. Stay positive. The work doesn't end. Be kind. That's it.
Yeah.
We got
hug through. Someone you love. Always makes me feel better.
We did it before.
Christian, hug me after the show.
Okay. Before, during, and after, bro. I'm happy yeah. to. But yeah, man, there's a lot of just negativity, especially on the internet. And you know, we try to stay away from it. It's a terrible place. Have you heard about the North Korean soldiers that have been on the internet?
No.
The North Koreans are helping Russia or something. They're fighting in some battle or whatever. And because they're out of North Korea, they got access to the internet. They're apparently addicted to pornography because they've never seen.
You heard about that? They brought the internet to some like tribe in Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
And within months, they started buying like swaggy clothing. I'm not making this up. They're buying clothing. They're addicted to social media and porn.
Love it, bro. Yeah. This is why this stuff is so healthy. We all got to be on it, bro. Yeah. So thank you again for tuning in.
Can you imagine the first time you see porn as an adult? You're just like, what? This is nothing like our glorious leader, Kim Jong-un, said it would be.
Y'all the absolute best. We'll see you, what's today? Thursday? We'll see you on Monday. And talking, obviously, MLS playoffs and of the games over the weekend. Thank you again. Hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe on YouTube. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.